The next portion of this ceremony program, and it'd be nice to have members of Sankalpala Foundation, past and present, to come forward. We have a few people who have agreed to speak and to offer reflections. Mark Lieberman, if you would be willing to come forward.
Greetings and thank you. I want to sing the names without singing of all the Bhagats that brought us here today from the perspective of the Sankalpala. I have to begin with my beloved wife, who gave me my first Buddhist book by a San Franciscan monk named Sujata. And the book is called Beginning to See. It was very simple-minded, and it was perfect for me. Then Nancy introduced me to her teachers in San Francisco, specifically a wonderful Buddhist nun from India named Rina Sarkar. Rina Sarkar was a student in Burma of Tongpulu Sayadaw, one of the great monks of southern Burma. And Tongpulu Sayadaw had a following here in the Bay Area and has a monastery in Santa Cruz. Not knowing anything more about Buddhism than what Sudata's book told me, Nancy and I decided to take a 6-week retreat and ordained as a monk and a nun. Impeccability was not my strong suit, but I did come away with an enormous love of the Vinaya, of the teachings of the rules of the monastic order, and the orderliness and the kindness in the orderliness. And I think this predisposed me all my life since then to have a great affection for the monastic community. Though I tried in my way to live in the woods, because his was a forest monk tradition, so I was living in a tent for 6 weeks in the wet Santa Cruz mountains, kvetching the whole time. But nevertheless, I came away with a desire to learn more about meditation, and this was the time that Jack Kornfield and Joseph Goldstein were beginning the insight meditation teachings here in the Bay Area. And so that was perfect for me because it wasn't monastic and they had a roof. And Jack and Joseph were also deeply impacted by their teachers in Southeast Asia. That led me to go to Insight Meditation Society for 3 months in Barre, Massachusetts. And because I was on kitchen patrol at 5:30 in the morning preparing the tea or coffee for the monks, one day at the end of the retreat, this golden-robed monk with shaved head descended the stairs. And after living with my own mind in silence for 2.5 months, I was so happy to have something else to look at. And I asked him who you were, and I knew the formalities. And he said, oh, my name is Ajahn Anando, and I'm here to teach for a couple of days. And he taught for a few days at the retreat. And this was like a song to my heart. I loved the Vipassana meditation that I was learning, but somehow it didn't have the soul that I'd missed at the Tongpulu Monastery, the soul of the monastic community. And by the end of the retreat, he says, well, if you like me, you ought to meet my boss, Samedo Bhikkhu. He's top drawer. So I said, okay, I'm game. And it turned out that Samedo Bhikkhu was invited by Jack Kornfield to come to the Bay Area a couple months later. So this is early 90s. And Ajahn Samedo, if you have met him, is not a shy man. And he's got a gigantic presence. And he greatly inspired my wife and myself to gather our friends, Susan Barber, Debbie Stamp, Daniel Barnes. And we became what Sumedho designated the defenders or the keepers of the Sangha, Sangha Pava. And so we decided to go about and see if we could find a way to bring his monastic community, his tradition, that wasn't quite as ethnographically oriented to the Burmese, like the Tongpulu Monastery, but more for Westerners. And that eventually came about. And Amar Bhatti provided the monks. Ajahn Amaro came, and in his shy way, he managed to convince us that, you know, we could relate to this guy. And then he brought, Sumedho came along, and Ananda came along, and the rest is where we are right now. And so I really want to just acknowledge this wonderful lineage, how we begat, and how we begat, and how we begat. So my thanks to you all for supporting this, and to the monastic community. Sadhu.